the Drown Rat Studios. You're listening to the Justice Speaks Up podcast, coming to you from everywhere and nowhere. Tipping the scales of justice with untold stories of American families. And now, Justice Speaks Up.
Justice Speaks Up is not a standard format podcast. You are listening to unscripted phone interviews for the purpose of documenting an ongoing open source human rights investigation into federally funded child abduction via collaboration between the U.S. Family Court and Child Protective Services. This often includes constructive parent and child estrangement on behalf of these agencies. This project is tracking the untold stories of U.S. families and conducting statistical research on behalf of this civil society in order to create solutions to a very important branch of the U.S. justice system that is statistically failing families and children. It's violating due process, violating constitutional violations, domestic terrorism, unlawful intimidation and surveillance of U.S. citizens. It's also conducting violations of the Violence Against Women Act by refusing to acknowledge the crimes committed against them in family court and in CPS custody cases. They're falsifying information in a federal, not all the time, but sometimes it's rare when it happens, but they're falsifying information in federal individual education programs for special needs children, forcibly medicating minors. Lying and falsification of evidence is often at play. They're often violating American Disabilities Act, human rights violations, and due to these failures, they are contributing to U.S. poverty levels, homelessness, mental health dilemmas, addiction, and all of these are a detriment to the entrepreneur and small business community by crushing many of these parents who own and many now are not operating startups. If you know any families that have been that may meet the criteria for this study, please have them email their participation request via the contact form on our website at justicespeaksup.us. Justice Speaks Up is also seeking to interview candidates who are running for government office, and we would love to discuss any areas in regards to their platform for reforming these entities and advocating for children and their families. In turn, we are also seeking anyone currently in these political seats to reach out to Justice Speaks Up via the same contact form to offer your input into this research study and to lend insight into for your constituents so that they can get answers. They've been left in the dark for many decades seeking answers to the areas that we are researching. Justice Speaks Up is conducting this research as a means to create a peaceful, long-lasting solution between U.S. families and these entities because we identify this as a U.S. crisis. I am requesting that listeners use their best judgment and not allow children under 18 to be present when you listen to these interviews.
Hi, this is Archer Sierra, and you're listening to the Justice Speaks Up podcast, and I am on the phone with Sam Burks. He is the biological father of the children that you may remember from a previous interview with the adoptive trans father, Ryan Swindle. We're really happy to have Sam on tonight to talk about his case out of Mesa, Arizona. And tonight we get his side of the story. And let's get right to it. Hi, Sam. How are you? Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I'm doing just fine.
So, you know how this goes. We always like to start how your family got on the radar of CPS to begin with.
It happened. I've had two cases out of Arizona. The first one put me on the radar permanently. They went hell-bent on trying to prove that I had harmed my daughter to the point where they had actually brought a specialist in from New Hampshire. And then it came about that no harm had ever been done to my daughter or anything, and they had to give her back. My attorney told me don't ever come back to Arizona if I did. they would take my kids and do everything they possibly could to make sure that I don't see them again. So I left. And then there were a series of really stupid decisions on my part. I needed some help, and Ryan was kind enough to take me and my family in. And so I went back to Arizona. I found a job. I was doing everything that I was supposed to be doing as far as being a productive member of society. And on July 5th of 2008, I had two police officers show up at my job and inform me that my kids had been beat by me. When I asked them what was wrong with my children, neither one of them would tell me anything. They just put me in cuffs and took me to the police station. I proceeded to spend all of July of 2008 trying to fight, not only for my own freedom, but for my kids, to make sure that they were safe. To the point where I'd given Ryan guardianship of my kids. And during the course of everything, I never met any of the CPS workers. I still haven't to this day. I haven't, but very briefly met the investigating officer in my case. I've never had any visitations with my children. I actually, to this day, don't even know what happened that day that CPS and the police were called. I just know that CPS got a hold of my children and went hell-bent on making sure that I could never get them back. I was told that my son had a fat lip. I don't know. I've never seen pictures of it. I've seen my case file as far as my with the courts, but there's no evidence of anything actually being wrong with my son or my daughter, for that matter. All I was told was that I beat my kids that morning about 9 o'clock in the morning, and I'd been at work since 8 a.m. I don't know what happened as far as why CPS decided that it was in my kids' best interest to take them from me. They never told me how to act with my kids.
They never told you? They never told you who called?
They said that there was a 911 hang-up call, and when they tried to call back, they couldn't get an answer, so they sent a squad car out.
And immediately arrested you?
Well, no, it took them an hour to come to my work, which was four blocks from my house, to arrest me. And, one of the officers looked right at me when I asked him what was going on, why they needed to talk to me, and told me, and if I remember correctly, his exact words were, "Listen, you son of a bitch, I know you beat your family. If you don't admit it, I'm going to beat you right here."
Did you file a complaint for his conduct?
I didn't know that I had any recourse for anything that had happened.
Well, were you given a public defender?
Yeah. My public defender was so great that I fired seven of them, and they just kept rotating around between the same three. And finally, I got the head of the Mesa Public Defender's Office. And he and the prosecutor pulled me aside one day before I went into court and told me, said, "Listen, it's not a matter of whether or not you're guilty. It's a matter of how much time you're going to do in jail."
What?
"We're pretty sure you're innocent. But if you take us to trial, we will put you away for 25 years and you will never see your children again."
Well, you never ended up seeing them again anyways.
Well, no, I had the young judge in my case promise me a picture of my children. This was in September of 2008. I have still never gotten that picture. I've only ever once been offered supervised visitation with my kids, but it was at a facility that I didn't know where it was or how to get to it, and I got lost trying to get to it, and I called them and tried to reschedule it at a facility that I knew how to get to, and I was told to go to hell.
So what course of action did you do to, I mean, you basically were overwhelmed by this and you didn't know you could file complaints, or what were you trying to do to overcome some of the harassment and ridiculousness that Mesa was putting you through?
I went to the head of the public defender's department in Phoenix, right to the top of the public defender's department. And I sat in his office for 20 minutes begging him to help me save my family. I told him I would do anything short of perjury in order to protect my kids and keep them out of CPS custody. And he asked me, he said, well, what do you want me to do? I said, I have evidence that proves that I wasn't even there when supposedly all this happened. I said, my own son, who is supposedly the victim of my crime, was telling me that I didn't do anything to him. And he told me that it was completely irrelevant.
So here's the question I have. Okay, so there were claims that he had a fat lip. There was never any photographic evidence. But you were convicted and held for child abuse. So what evidence was produced in criminal court that was so damning? Or did the public defender's office, leverage you to plea?
My public defender told me that if I ever had any hopes of getting my life back on track and seeing my children again, that it was in my best interest to take a 12-year probationary plea. I told him that I kept trying to produce evidence that would prove that I hadn't done anything, and I was constantly told that all the evidence I was producing was completely irrelevant.
Well, hold on. But Ryan was a witness to the kids, you not being there because you were living with him, you were cohabitating, and the kids went to school, obviously, they were at school at that time. Was there any teacher that came forward and said that the child did not have a swollen lip?
As far as I know, the only evidence against me was stuff that my ex-wife had said.
But she was unstable.
She was so unstable that the state of Arizona gave her full custody of my kids.
Well, I'm sorry, but that's not shocking. If after the research we've done, it seems to be pretty much standard that they give kids to...
After the first case that I had in Arizona, my ex-wife didn't even have rights to Cheyenne. Arizona had already stripped them from her. I was the only one that had parental rights to my daughter. Because I jumped through every hoop that Arizona could throw in front of me. Every month and a half, I flew out for a visitation with her. Whereas my wife didn't do anything. So Arizona giving her full custody of my daughter, they didn't have a right to do that in the first place. As far as what I've tried to do since, I've spoken to numerous attorneys in Arizona, all of which tell me that it sounds like the state wanted my kids and they went after them and they took them. But none of them wanted to touch it until there was one out of Gilbert who specialized in these kind of cases. And she filed one petition on behalf of me and Ryan. And the state stepped in and threatened to take her bar from her.
They threatened your attorney?
Yes.
You know what? This is something that we're seeing a lot of, is that, and it's, we always try to say that there's there's good people doing good work, but the people that are trying to do the proper work and advocate for their clients are being threatened to have licenses taken away. You know, foster agencies or, you know, foster parents are having their licenses removed. CPS workers are having threats to have their children taken. I mean, so again, that's why we've come to the summation of there's no other reason to do this except what's completely obvious, which is the $107,000 per head of each child.
Well, me and Ryan, while still living in Arizona, me and Ryan got together and he called the CPS investigator who was in charge of my kid's case. This was before Josh was taken from him, and confronted her, asked her why she removed the children. He asked her, he said, did you or did you not tell me to go for guardianship so these kids won't remove from my home? She said, I did. He said, so then why did you then remove them from my home? And she said, Brian, the state's official stance is because of neglect. But the truth is the reason why we took them is because you're transgendered. It wasn't anything to do with any sort of misconduct or the fact that they thought my kids were in danger. They took them because they didn't like his sexuality.
And did you have evidence of that conversation? Did you happen to record it? And I know I'm asking you probably, I don't know what the recording laws are in Arizona, but anything that you could, you know, document that?
I don't think Ryan recorded it. It was on his cell phone that he called her, and his girlfriend and me both, all three of us were sitting there when she admitted that the only reason why they took my kids out of his home was because he's transgender.
Well, I guess that would kind of coincide with why Ryan was met with the resistance and discrimination that he received from the Arizona Attorney General's office.
Well, I contacted the Attorney General's office because the way I understand is that the Attorney General's office is supposed to help make sure that the state doesn't really try and prosecute somebody just because they get a burrow hurt butt. And when I spoke to the Attorney General's office and I explained who I was, their response to me was, do you have any money? I said, no, I don't have any money. You guys destroyed my entire life. They said that they have in no way, shape, or form any interest in trying to help us because they had succeeded in what they wanted to do.
Which was?
Well, that's what I asked them. They said that they removed the children from a bad situation.
Because
and I asked them what they meant by that, and they wouldn't give me an explanation on it.
Wow. Well, that's sexual discrimination.
Since then, I've contacted attorneys in Washington, D.C. that specialize in lawsuits against states. And I think what had happened, as far as my side of the story, and I explained to him that the other person involved has affidavits and all kinds of written documents as to what had happened. And they told me that it sounded, if all the evidence that I knew existed actually existed, that I had grounds for a lawsuit. I said, okay, then let's get started. I can get you whatever paperwork you need. Mm-hmm. And they told me to wait until my kids were 18 so that they could file on behalf of me, Ryan, and my kids.
Come on. So basically that's a legal, again, money. They want more litigants so they can increase the amount of settlement that they'll get. And it's a class action lawsuit because three or more people is a lawsuit. I mean, a class action lawsuit, but that's not in the best interest of the child, and that's not why you went to him. You went to them to try and get the kids returned, right? And when did this happen?
This happened. It took me a few years to get back from the West Coast. It happened, I believe, in 2010.
So, how old are your kids now?
My daughter is 14. My son is 12.
So it's not too late to get them back.
No, it's not. And I applaud Ryan for all the hard work that he's been putting in over the years. But, like I tried to explain to him, I feel that my hands are extremely tied because Arizona in no way, shape, or form allowed me to do anything that was necessary for me to try and get my kids back. They completely railroaded me into a conviction for something that I wasn't even involved in.
What kind of incarceration time did you end up doing from this false accusation of child abuse?
I did 6 months in DOC.
And of course, you went on the registry for child abuse index, right?
As far as I know, the only registry that I'm on is Arizona's.
The Arizona Child Abuse Index?
And I believe all they got me for was negligence. I don't know because I don't even know how to look any of that up. So I don't, as far as I know, I'm not on any sort of registry for anything.
But wait, your attorney, the public defender should have given you paperwork. You had to have signed off on your information. You had to be part of your
plea. He didn't give me anything. The only thing he got me was another charge.
Oh, my God.
The same day that I took a plea to try and protect my kids, and so that I might be able to see them someday, he gave my wife a poem that I had written while I was in jail. And because of that, because there was a standing restraining order on me, I got a restraining order violation, and I caught another charge.
Why did he? Because of the poem?
Yes.
And your attorney?
Then he knew that he shouldn't have given to her in the first place.
Okay, so what did you do?
Because he knew that there was a standing restraining order.
I understand, but what did you do? Have you ever filed an attorney grievance complaint?
No. The short answer is no. I went and I've talked to, I actually called my public defender directly and asked him how I caught another charge when he's the one that actually, made contact with her when I wasn't supposed to. And he told me that the prosecutor's office had contacted him, and he explained that, yes, in fact, he did give her the poem, and yes, he knew that there was a standing restraining order, but that he gave her the poem so that I would take the plea. And the prosecutor's office said that they weren't going to prosecute me and then turn around and did anyway.
Sorry.
And he told me that he didn't even know how that was working. And I asked him, I said, well, shouldn't you be on here with me, considering you're the third party involved? And he said, because he was an officer of the court, he was immune from prosecution on it.
Oh, that lovely little thing about immunity. Yeah. I'm sorry. That sounds like an issue he could possibly be disbarred from. So, we have GSU advocates that work with the parents. So I think we're going to have one follow-up with you to give you a couple steps that you need to do. I think you and Ryan should keep fighting for these kids, and I think you have some cleanup work to do. Sounds like you have some kids there with you now. I think you need to go after, filing these complaints against these individuals, including the public defender and the state attorney. And I mean, you just have to not live in fear, and you have to file this paperwork, because if people just keep letting these people slide, our quality of our judicial system will just continue to deteriorate, and it'll eventually, well, it already has. And as far as it pertains to family court, it's become something else. I don't really think it's acting as a family court at all. What is your opinion after going through the different phases, including false CPS allegations and ridiculous criminal charges? I mean, what is your...
Before all this happened, I had a very firm belief that the way the justice system worked in this country was that you were proven innocent, that you were innocent until proven guilty. Since all this has happened, I don't trust any officer of the court, whether it's a cop, a judge, or an attorney. Because I have seen where it doesn't matter what kind of evidence you produce, the court doesn't care. In my case, I have actually brought up previous cases where charges were made against me and were proven to be false, and was told that that's completely irrelevant. I had one attorney look at me and tell me that police officers are trained professional liars, and who would I believe if I was on the jury? I've had one judge, when I tried to bring to his attention that my attorney was involved, tell me that it didn't matter. All that mattered was that I was charged with it.
Well, I think that's... Well...
So, as far as I'm concerned, the judicial system in this country, whether it be legal or family, is a complete joke. The family courts, there are some judges out there who truly do care and are trying to do good. Unfortunately, they have children's advocates and CPS workers and various other attorneys and organizations who aren't going to tell them the truth because that isn't their job. I've had my children's advocate stand up and scream at the court that she knew that I must have done something to my children and not to dismiss the case. And the judge looked right at her and go, but all the evidence points to the contrary. And she said, I don't care. I know he's done something.
And I'm going to pause you right there. This is, again, guys, as you listen to these podcasts, you will hear the commonality between them, which is... it's a matter of opinion, and as we push to build a team to draft legislation for this so we can reform these agencies and kind of clean out the poison that is the court officers currently in these agencies and these courts, because you got to get rid of the poison before you can start fresh and heal from the damage that these individuals have done. It's a runaway train. It's rather sad. But there was a burning question I had to ask you, and that's one of the reasons I was looking forward to you coming on and us kind of getting the backstory or the other side of the story from your perspective, the biological father. What did you think yourself? And two, what was the judge's response when they sent the SWAT team and CPS to come and take the Ryan's oldest son, the 15-year-old? Because there was the judge, I mean, speaking of people doing good work, he pretty much called everybody out and said, you have no reason to keep these kids. He ordered your children to be returned to the guardianship of Ryan. And then, so halfway through that point, 2 weeks later, SWAT team comes with the CPS workers. And, you know, they start gunning for Ryan and his biological child. So... I'm sorry, if I were that judge, I would be extremely pissed off because CPS does not outrank a judge's order, two, and a judge has a responsibility if they clearly saw that CPS worker. Oh yeah, that's right. There was three CPS workers and a SWAT team that showed up at Ryan's house to get his eldest boy. That's just ridiculous. I mean, what I want to hear from this judge, and again, anybody in this case, you know, any of these cases, you can reach out to us at justicespeaksup.us. You can call us. However, all phone calls to my company are recorded for the purpose of being broadcast on the podcast. So nothing is confidential. we would really like to know what this judge did. Do you know what he did?
I actually don't know which judge it was. As far as I know, in my case, I had four different judges. None of them knew what the other one had done, nor what any of them had promised. As far as with Josh, Ryan had just taken me back to where I was staying in Phoenix when the SWAT team showed up at his house for Josh. And I was on the phone with the police investigator when he promised that Josh wasn't going to be taken out of the home, but he just wanted to talk to Josh. And we come back from where we went to get Josh away from the police department. And we made arrangements so that Josh and this police investigator could get together and talk. And it was supposed to be an hour after Ryan returned me to Phoenix. And then it wasn't very long after Ryan got home that the SWAT team showed up. Ryan isn't the kind of person to make threats to people. The only time that that I've ever known him to get aggressive is when it's come to protecting his family. Whether it's me, my kids, or his own flesh and blood, you know what I mean?
Well, are you okay? At this point, I've talked to both of you guys. Are you guys okay if I try to hunt down this judge and speak to this judge? I mean, because this was a high-profile case. I mean, Ryan had to flee Josh for 4 months. They came back. This has been, you know, again, a high-profile case in Mesa. I find it hard to believe that this judge never found out that the CPS and the SWAT team were sent out. That's a huge abuse of power. And that, again, if I were that judge, I'd be pissed. I would be calling that social worker who decided that she needed, you know, two additional CPS workers and a SWAT team to go get a 15-year-old child that they, you know, and got this investigator to lie and, you know, kicked, you know, I mean, the whole story. We all know the story. Everybody who's followed the podcast. If you don't, you can go and look at the Ryan Swindle interview to get the other side of this story. It's rather tragic. But I think what we're going to do is, I think we're going to give you resources. And I think I'm personally going to get on the phone for a couple hours tomorrow, and I'm going to try and do some follow-up here. And I'd like to talk to the Attorney General's office and a couple other people. More than likely, nobody's going to speak to me. Nobody seems to want to speak up with these cases from these agencies. I'm very sad and disappointed because, again, I believe in fair and balanced journalism. And I think it's important that these agencies start chiming in so they can advise the public how to better work with them to get the results that everybody desires, which is, you know, to be referred out to the community resources that CPS is supposed to be partnering people with. These states are getting paid hundreds of millions of dollars a year to do this. And it seems that instead they're just taking the kids to make more money. And I think that's
easier to balance their budget that way.
Well, and that's a whole other podcast, Sam. But yes, that's, you know, that's some research we're doing that we're not going to disclose right now. But again, we really, really want these agencies to chime in because these parents, some of these kids who are old enough, like the one that ran away, she's still in the wind somewhere. I don't know where she's at,
But, you know, she wants answers. And so these older children, much like Josh, is now 22 and he wants answers. I mean, so you can't damage people and sit there and not take responsibility for your behavior and your unethical actions and then sit there and continue to hide behind a business card title. Because at the end of the day, it's just a job. And, take your God complex and stick it where the sun don't shine. These are human beings that you're dealing with. They're not a way to make money to balance a state budget. And you're owed answers. And they're owed the evidence. And that's the most disturbing thing. It sounds to me, again, I'd like to see the paperwork that you do have. I think you need an attorney or something to get in there and get this paperwork. I just see like really work being done. And I'm trying to find out why. Why is it being conducted like this? And until somebody from these agencies or these cases can chime in and, you know, tell us differently, it doesn't look good for you guys. It doesn't. There's falsification. There's people just violating their role in the courts. And we just want to know why.
It is so bad, Archer, that I had one of Arizona's supposed best foster parents testify on my behalf, both in my criminal case and in the family court case, of what kind of parent she saw me be and how much I loved my children and how much I would bend over backwards for them. And they took and stripped her of her credentials.
No.
Yeah.
They took her license?
She was standing up for me.
Did you hear what I said?
They took her license from her. Because she stood up to them and told them that what they were doing was wrong, that they didn't have a right to take these kids. That if I said that they were safe somewhere, you better damn well believe they were safe there.
Do you have the transcript from that day?
It should be part of public record because... she said it at my sentencing in my criminal case, and they make a audio recording of that.
But you never got these things?
No, I barely got paperwork explaining to me what I was wholeheartedly charged with.
Okay, well, again, I think there's some research we need to do on your behalf. Or at least point you in the right direction so you can self-advocate and know what paper you need to get. And we need to, I mean, we have a lot of Ryan's stuff, but it sounds to me like, and some of the stuff
Ryan has 50 times more than I do.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say. Some of the stuff, we'll go back through and what he has, you might not even have to go and get any of that again. It might be there, but it sounds to me like... it sounds to me like you have a lawsuit, my friend. That's my honest opinion. So if there's any attorneys out there who would like to step in, again, reach out to us at justicespeaksup.us and we'll put you in touch with Sam and Ryan, as a matter of fact. But, I guess we're going to start wrapping it up. And Sam, thank you for coming on and telling us everything from your side of the story as a biological parent. And we look forward to following this case and helping you.
This has been brought to you by Drown Rat Productions. Remember, we are everywhere and nowhere.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.